Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circlecraft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from April 18th, 2012, Selena led a discussion on ways of developing and deepening relationships with the divine as one and many in Pantheon Journeys.
Good evening and welcome to Circlecraft Study with Selena Fox. And this is Selena Fox, and tonight we are taking Pantheon Journeys. We're going to take a look at the divine in many forms and ways to connect with the divine as one and as many as part of our own spiritual practice. We begin, as we do each week, with an invocation. And tonight's invocation reflects the diversity and the unity of working with the divine. Divine ones, come to us. Be with us. Divine as one, divine as many, teach us, guide us, bless us. So mote it be. Take a few moments as we begin our study tonight and reflect on the divine as you work with the divine in your own way, according to your own spiritual path. Reflect on that for the next few moments of quiet. We honor the divine within. We honor the divine around. We honor the divine. That's all that is. We honor the divine. That is mystery. One of the things that sets the Circle Craft tradition apart from some of the other forms of Wiccan spirituality and other paths of contemporary and old world paganism has to do with how the divine is conceptualized and worked with. In some paths, there are particular forms that predominate. Sacred names for those spiritual forms, and whether one is involved in group practice or personal practice, those predominant forms are the centerpiece of worship, prayer, and connection. In the Circlecraft tradition, there are a variety of different facets of the divine that are part of the tradition, and because it has a multicultural, international, multilingual, and interreligious dimension, there's flexibility built within the system to adapt one's own way of accessing the divine, both as one and as many, to reflect one's own heritage, one's own inclination, one's own experience with the divine, past and present, evolving into the future. A number of years ago, for Circle Magazine, the Goddess issue, I talked about some of the different forms that one might work with with the goddess in particular. I entitled my article, Pathways of Goddess and Goddesses. And what I'd like to do tonight is a version of this and actually update it to be more inclusive of many different forms of the divine. We begin with the path of universality. On this path, the divine has a universal flow. It is divine as one that's all-encompassing. Goddesses, gods, nature spirits, spirits of place, different aspects of the divine are seen as all part of one force. And this path of universality, the divine as one, is an important concept within the circle craft tradition, regardless of where one might put emphasis. It provides a framework that allows one to organize understanding of the sacred and its diversity in a cohesive whole. For some people who practice the circle craft tradition, the emphasis is on this divine as one. Sometimes that may be known as Great Spirit, or All That Is, or the Mystery, or Divine Unity. In addition to having the divine as one, there are ways of connecting with the divine as many. And there are some special ways of connecting with the divine as many. The word pantheon, all of the divine gathered. In fact, there was a temple in ancient Rome known as the Pantheon. And there were images and representations and shrines set up for a wide range of gods and goddesses and other forms of divinity in that place. It was a gathering of all the many. In addition to seeing that there is a universal source and an all-one that encompasses diversity, the balance to that is looking at the path of particularity, which is to work with a very specific divine form. This could take the form of a particular goddess or god or an ancestor or a spiritual guide, a particular place, a particular elemental force, particular kind of herb or tree or stone or creature, an animal spirit. And in working with the path of particularity, one goes deep in alignment and connection. Often that path of particularity with a divine force comes about from some deep resonance with a particular form. One of the forms of the divine that I have a deep resonance with is Libertas, or Lady Liberty. Libertas was her ancient name in Old Rome, where she was a virtue, and then later taking the form of a goddess of freedom. In America today, Lady Liberty has become an icon for freedom. And many people in the United States of America aren't even aware that Lady Liberty, in her depictions, really was coming from classical paganism. And she now is not only rooted in old Rome and in the United States of America, but in some other parts of the world. So as I have done my own deepening of my particular connection with Libertas, I've come to understand her in her different forms and how she has morphed and changed as she's become a multicultural, international, interreligious goddess. Another approach to working with the divine is commonplace in many different pagan traditions. It's the path of duality or the dyad. It's working with a divine pair. Now, some people will automatically have come to mind goddess and God, divine mother, divine father. But those are not the only pairs that exist within the larger range of paganism and nature religion. Sun and moon, night and day, the waxing sun represented by the Oak King, the waning sun of the year, the Holly King, Persephone and Demeter, a daughter and a mother. So the divine pair can be a form of working with the divine, and one may find that as a useful resonance for a particular ritual, for a particular phase of life. And that is within the larger realm of possibilities and connecting with pantheon possibilities. Just as there's a path of the dyad, there is the path of the triad or the path of triplicity. And in some pagan traditions, the triple goddess is revered. Goddess as maiden, as mother, as crone. The goddess of the moon as waxing moon, full moon, waning to dark moon. But this triplicity can take a variety of forms. In ancient Germany, there were the three mothers. They were all mothers. They weren't maiden, mother, and crone. And in the classical paganism, Hecate, as a goddess, may have a threefold face. And some of her ancient depictions actually had that. Brige or Bridget, the Celtic goddess, sometimes has three aspects: inspiration for the bards, smithcraft for the smiths, and healing for the healers. You also may encounter some other triplicity, such as the three fates in ancient Rome or the three Norns out of Scandinavia, the three graces out of Greece. So the whole working with three, which some people associate in religion with the Trinity within Christianity, actually has roots that predate Christianity that go back into the old pagan religions. When we talk pantheon, we typically are talking about this next path, which is the path of multiplicity, where in addition to dyads and triads and particular forms of the divine that may have a whole range of aspects, there is the gathering of these diverse forms together in the path of multiplicity, in a pantheon. Indeed, in many of the old pagan religions, you would have as many as the particular path might permit. You know, there were the 12 Olympian deities in old Greece, but even before that, there were numerous gods and goddesses and nature spirits that were all part of ancient Greek religion. And today, in some other religions of the world that are polytheistic, such as Hinduism, literally there's hundreds of deities that are part of the larger pantheon that is there. Now, most people who work a path of multiplicity and have a pantheon have that pantheon rooted in a particular ethnic or cultural spiritual tradition. The Welsh pantheon, the Roman pantheon, the Egyptian pantheon, where there are myths and legends and lore and whole traditions that have emerged that interrelate deities of a particular place and time and culture. In the 21st century, increasingly within pagan practice, there are what I call multicultural pantheons. If you are one of those who have a multicultural pantheon, it really is important that one develop strong connections with not only the particular divine force from each of those pantheons, but an understanding of the system from which they have come, so that in drawing those divine forces within one's spiritual life, that one can harmonize the work rather than have the different spiritual forces working at cross purposes. For myself, I have a pantheon that is multicultural. It's evolved that way through individual workings and alignments that I have done over the years with particular forms of the divine. Rarely will I invoke all of those different forms of the divine from different cultures in a particular working. But within my own consciousness, I have an understanding of how each of those are reflecting a particular form of spiritual wisdom that's part of the path that I practice. The final path is what I call the path of inclusivity, which is combining work with all these different paths that I have talked about. For myself, that best describes the path that I practice within the CircleCraft tradition. In CircleCraft ceremonies that bring people together, community ceremonies, typically there is an honoring of the divine as one, as a universal force, as well as a recognition of the divine in its multiplicity forms. And that typically takes the form of invocations, of elemental associations with the various directions, and in the center, calling the one that draws those different forms together in the sacred circle and the sacred sphere, which we talked about previously on the Sacred Directions, Sacred Circle, Sacred Sphere show. But there's also room for rituals within a group or personally having a very particular focus, as I mentioned before. At Imbolc, for example, we honor the sacred directions, we honor the universal one, but our main focus of our Imbolc ceremonies is on Brige, Brigid, Brigid, Brigantia, the different facets of a particular goddess, since this time of year has been linked with her. But we also have, at times in our community celebrations, also drawn parallels to how her force, rooted in ancient Celtic traditions, has parallels in other traditions as well, as part of our way of working with her. Now what I'd like to do in the next few moments of the teaching part of our evening is to go through some of the forms that the divine can take within one's own pantheon. We begin by talking about the All One, or Source, or all that is, or the mystery, that universal oneness. We also have the inner self, or self with a capital S. It is what is at the heart of our soul, that inner dimension within ourselves, and that radiates around us as we go about to live our life. Deities. Many circle craft practitioners, in addition to the inner self and the All One, resonate with one or more forms of divinity or deities. Typically, there's at least one goddess form and one god form for those that find deities as something that resonates deep within one's own spiritual practice. Not all circle craft practitioners, though, may work with gods and goddesses. They may prefer to work with the interconnecting force or source, or may really resonate more with nature spirits. Now, when I talk about nature spirits, that can take a variety of forms. Earth, air, fire, water, spirit, the five elementals, often are categorized in different pagan traditions as nature spirits, and that's certainly the case within the circle craft tradition. We look at plants, herbs, shrubs, trees, plants in all their various forms, and we look at the spiritual essence of each type of plant. The spirit of the oak, the spirit of the cherry blossom, the spirit of the apple, the spirit of yarrow, the spirit of prairie grass in the tall grass prairies that are common in some parts of the Midwestern part of North America, including at our very own Circle Sanctuary. We look at the spirits of creatures. And the spirits of creatures or animal totems may be mammals or reptiles, they may be birds or some of the other creature forms that exist. Butterflies, dragonflies, they can be insects as well as horses and cats and dogs and dolphins and snakes and frogs, just a whole range of different creatures. And in working with animal spirits, typically there is one or several that one has a strong connection or alignment with. Another form of nature spirit is the realm of minerals. Semi-precious, precious gemstones, crystals, diamonds, agates, copper, gold, silver, metals is a particular kind of mineral. I'm working with the spirits of those minerals. Some other divine forms that are within the Circle Craft tradition have to do with the spirit of place, seeing that every place where you are has a spiritual dimension, the spirit of your home, the spirit of a sacred site, the spirit of a bioregion. Place can be very specific and very localized, or it can be more regional. And ultimately, the spirit of the planet on which we live, the Earth spirit. And I also want to mention the spirit of community. When one is part of a group, a family, a household, a coven, a grove, a spiritual group, that community spirit is the coming together of the spirits of the individuals, the souls of those who have joined together. And that itself has a spiritual presence that can be worked with as part of a pantheon journey in the Circle Craft tradition. Finally, in the last couple minutes, I'd like to give some examples of ways of working with the divine as one, as many, on some of these paths that I've talked about. And these are very practical kinds of things. First of all, in working with the divine, it's important to develop at least one form of daily practice that you do to connect with the divine as one and as many. It could be as simple as doing a form of the invocation that started our study tonight, calling to the divine ones to come, to be with oneself, to bless, to guide, to teach. The practice may take the form of facing each of the directions and calling on divine forces connected with each of those directions. The spirit of the sacred earth in the north, the sacred air in the east, the sacred fire in the south, the sacred water in the west, the sacred cosmos above, the sacred planet beneath, the sacred spirit, the oneness in the center, and the other two directions within, that being the inner self, and around participation in community. So that can be a very simple practice that one can do each morning when you arise, and that certainly is one of the practices that I work with myself each day. In addition to working with this multifaceted calling the sacred according to the directions and the associations, I also have another practice that I do each morning, and one of the forms of the divine that I work with is Bridget, or Brige, or Bride is another one of her names. And in my home, I have a shrine set up to her, and it's by my main altar, and it's right outside of the hallway where my bedroom is. And each morning when I begin my day, I approach the shrine and do an honoring. And that's an example of working with a particular alignment as part of practice. But I also work with the multifaceted one when I continue my morning practice and go out to my front porch where I face each of the directions, rain or shine, and align that way. Some additional things that one can do to develop, deepen, and strengthen connections with one or more facets of the divine is to do research, to do meditation, to do ritual. I call the relationships that one has with a particular form of the divine or the divine as universal as alignment. Some of these alignments happen spontaneously. Many, though, require practice as part of spiritual study and work. What I'd like to do now is move into our discussion portion of our evening. And I invite those of you in the chat room to share questions and comments, which will get conveyed to me. And for those of you who would like to do some dialogue, we have a call-in number, 347-308-8222. That's 347-308-8222. So call in with your questions or your comments, your observations, or share some of your viewpoints in the chat if you haven't already done so. So I'm going to connect with my colleagues who are helping me with the show to see what kinds of questions or comments may already be making their way to us through chat.
Hello, Selena.
Hi, David.
There, yeah, David and Jeanette here.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hello.
We did have a question about the divine, and the question was, oh, I got it here. from Greengate, was asking that if the divine is one, and we see different facets of it through our specific cultural lens, are not all traditions ultimately universal traditions?
That depends on the practitioner as to whether they would embrace that. There are some forms of spirituality beyond even paganism here where there are some very strongly held beliefs about how the divine works. And some very particularly focused religious traditions, especially some that have a monotheistic framework, may have a superiority dimension to their belief system. This approach to, usually it's called God, is the right one, not only for me, but for everyone. And those who do not go along with this are in spiritual peril or worse. And some would call that like fundamentalist belief systems. I think ultimately, from a mystical standpoint, you can say that the human psyche has built into it some ways of understanding, but the understanding itself is limiting. And when you start talking about the divine, you really aren't able to fully express it. because it goes beyond intellectual discourse. So that's kind of the mystic, I would say, response to the question, as well as the fundamentalism. And so if one went into one's view that this is the true way and went into it deep enough, ultimately it would connect with the whole idea that when one is resonating with the sacred, one is in tune. And I have to put the qualifier on it, though, that some, from my inner religious experiences over time, that some people get really attached to their belief systems. And having structure helps us understand and develop ourselves spiritually, but getting too attached to a structure, in my opinion, can be retarding, can really limit ourselves. So I think that there certainly is a universalism, that framework that could be applied to all forms of belief and non-belief. But one would really have to take that concept into oneself with a really inclusive way of looking at the world, and that people that have exclusive ways of looking at the world would not agree.
Sounds like it's a complicated question that really gets into, you know, individual beliefs and how they interpret what they, how they see their practices and stuff.
Well, that's it. And one of the things about the Circle Craft tradition is there is an ongoing spiritual exploration and development that has one strengthening connections that one has had with the divine in one or more ways, but also having the understanding that what approaches one takes are not the approaches that are going to work for everyone, which sets it in contrast to the fundamentalist paths that pretty much have the attitude that this is it, and if you don't do it this way, it's, you're not right. And that's all part of the frameworks of human religious and belief expression, but there are healthier ways of being than others, and in my own experience, when you get too much ego wrapped up in defending a position, that you start creating a separation between yourself and the sacred.
Okay. Well, we have a caller on the phone.
Great.
Somebody you may be somewhat familiar with. I don't know. She might be a total stranger. Florence from Wisconsin has a really interesting question for you.
Okay. Hi, Florence.
Hi, Selena. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I have a question that I have actually been wanting to ask you for quite some time about deity forms. I've been in a couple rituals with you where you have invited people to call in various deity forms. Sometimes it's, you know, a theme, goddesses or something that works for them.
Right.
And the deities that are called in can be quite disparate. I
right.
think at one point I was in a ritual where Caridwin, Aphrodite, Isis, Ganesha, and Mary were all called in at the same time. And I sort of always wondered, how does it work to have all those incredibly different energies come in to the circle? And is there something that you as the leader are doing to try and make them match a little bit? Because, you know, historically, some of these deities might not have got along too terribly well.
Well, exactly. And earlier I talked about if one was going to be working with a multicultural, and I'll elaborate on that and say in a religious pantheon, and you're actually going to be calling on divine forces that are from quite disparate traditions, the person that is facilitating the ceremony, or if there's several, they need to come to consensus about how they're going to make this work. But essentially, you create within the ceremony the context that these are being called as expressions of the community that has gathered with the understanding it is done with love and respect. And I think that so there is a preparation that happens internally with the facilitator, as well as setting up a framework within the ceremony so that those who are participating recognizing that this is a way of giving expression to the many facets of the divine in a context that harmonizes rather than is a hodgepodge mishmash. I have done that at the Pagan Spirit Gathering because in some of the ceremonies that I've facilitated, including the opening ritual, people are there for the week. We are intentionally creating community together, and there are people from so many different traditions. So in addition to calling a universal source during the ceremony and having particular pagan leaders, facilitators who are joining me, each call some specific forms that everyone focuses on together, I've included a part which is what I call the free expression part, where the expressions are not only calling on those sacred forms to honor them, but it is a form of calling community spirit and acknowledging the diversity that is happening within our own people. Because as you know, we create this village together, and it's what I call my ongoing social psychology spiritual experiment that started back in 1980, and bringing so many diverse people and paths from different places and walks of life together, it's a way of harmonizing community. So instead of trying to do full evocations or invocations of the particular deities as people give those expressions, it's more done in the context of celebrating community diversity and giving voice to each one, giving voice to a form of the sacred that they honor, so that in addition to the selected forms of the divine that had been used as emphasized divine earlier in the ritual, there is a part where everyone has a chance to be able to call out a sacred name. And in that way, it does move into this unity of the many. It's been my experience when it's been done with that context that it can be a very beautiful thing, and there's an actual real practical dimension to it in that everyone has a chance to be able to participating rather than just going along with the particular traditions that may be featured in a particular opening ceremony or other ceremony.
Interesting. I mean, I was always sure that there was a rhyme and a reason to it, but I really wanted to know what that was.
Well, and part of that has come out of my work in interreligious context. And part of that is a real practical piece, because when you are having an international interreligious gathering and you're having your opening ceremony, that can go quite long if you were just to include world religions that are represented. I was at one such event. I believe there were 32 prayers from the different traditions.
And, oh, dear.
You know, and that was all good. There was an attempt to converge and to be able to give honor and respect to the different traditions. But not everyone culturally had the, it's best to do this in a short way, programmed in, and one of the prayers went on for 10 minutes, and that when you have a one-hour ceremony, that can expand it considerably, and how long can 5,000 people stand under the hot sun, right, when you're outside? So that actually was an inspiration for me to include some interreligious dimensions to intra-faith pagan ceremonies, such as at these grand gatherings, pagan spirit gathering, and some other places. So that's a real good question.
Well, thank you so much for taking the call. Thank you for doing these. They're great.
Hey, thanks for calling in. And so I'm going to check in with David and Jeanette, see if we have any others.
Selena, there's another question that came up in the chat. And it had to do with polytheistic paganism of Europe.
Okay.
If you can comment, and we've got about just less than 15 minutes left, so we're having a little time check.
Okay.
Can you comment on the general overview of polytheistic paganism of Europe, et cetera, and how it matches up with Native American cosmology that developed here independently over 10,000 years?
That's a really good question. And I think one of the ways of looking at European paganism over time and looking at Native American traditional ways over time is in both the Americas as well as in Europe, there was much diversity, really diversity. And let's take the ancient Greek religion, for example. Yes, there was a period of time where the 12 Olympians were the pantheon of old Greece, but before that, it depended on where you lived, and there were a lot of local nature spirits, and in some cases, that would be the primary form of the divine that one worked with, and one would acknowledge different forms of divinity for different facets. So the local sacred spring, for example, would have its own spirit. But one would be going up the mountain, and there would be a spirit there too. And you find what in religious studies fields would call animism, that everything has an indwelling spirit. You're going to find that as a connecting piece across the different polytheistic pagan traditions of old and even contemporary Europe, and you're going to find that in Native American traditions. Just as there were many different peoples, tribes, clans, groups in Europe, the same with the Americas. The Celts were never called the Celts by themselves. They had particular tribal names, the Brigantes, who had Brigantia, a form of Bridget, as their primary deity, the Iceni, who were known because of Boadicea and her story when she stood up for her people against some distinctively unhelpful political interface with the Romans, who had moved into Britain at that time. Well, in Native America, there were more than 100 different tribes, and throughout what is now the United States, up in Canada, down in Mexico, Central America, down into South America, there were many, many different tribes in ancient times, and there continue to be in contemporary times. And each of those, they may be all called Native American, but they can be quite different from each other. For example, with the Cherokee people, working with the new moon, there's a tradition called going to water. So there is that way of connecting with the spirit of water each new moon time. Now you go to the Hopi in the Southwest, more emphasis on the sun, solstices being quite important. And yet they're both called Native American. And the name for the deities, the sacred forces, can be quite different as well. With the contact from Europe and European Christians in particular with the Americas, some of the old traditional ways of the Americas started having some Christian overlay on them. And it's really interesting as I go to different powwows and visit different reservations and connect with Native peoples from different tribes, so much seems to depend on what particular influences came and melded with the traditional ways. And certainly some Native Americans that I've had contact with have the traditional ways, but it's now woven into a Christian context as well. And if you looked at what happened to the Celts in Ireland, you had the old pagan ways and then Christianity coming to Ireland and being intertwined, where Bridget is not only a pagan goddess, but a Christian saint. So you see some real parallels between part of what happened with the Christianization of the Americas and the Christianization of Europe. You will see some of these hybrid pieces emerging, which adds even more color to the polytheistic mix. This said, I also want to say, in the parallels of looking at Native America and old European traditions, pagan traditions, that clearly part of the polytheism was the fact that there was room for these different forms of spiritual expression. And some individual practitioners, some cities, some groupings may be real focused on a particular aspect of the divine. Even, let's take a look at old Greece again. Yes, there's the Olympian pantheon, but in Athens, Athena was it. There was an honoring of Athena as a primary form of the divine. She was the patroness of the city. Now, did Athenians also connect with other forms of the divine? Most likely, but she was more predominant rather than the Olympian pantheon itself, according to some of the sources that I have read over the years. Likewise, in some Native American traditions, there may be more of an emphasis of a particular form amongst some of the plains, Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, the white buffalo calf woman was a very central figure, or Great Spirit, Wankantanka. Taking different names depending on the tribal grouping. So that, I hope I answered the question. There are certainly quite a few parallels with the polytheism that you find in nature oriented spiritual traditions. And one of the things that connects Native traditions in the Americas with European pagan traditions and nature religion traditions in other parts of the world is the fact that there is an understanding and an honoring of diversity and direct connection with the natural world in sacred ways.
Okay.
Well, I see we only have a few minutes left. I wonder if there's any other question or comment.
Just a little chat about some discussion about, you know, the European settlers and some of the differences between European and Native American practices of you know, recognizing the directions and stuff. I guess the modern European pagans, and some discussion about, you know, the settling of North America by the Europeans and how that affected the Native cultures and stuff is kind of the discussion on the chat right now. Which is really interesting that, you know, that the Native Americans had so many, there were so many different, around 600 or something tribes.
Yeah, actually I learned this from an anthropology class years ago. Before the whites invaded the Americas, there were approximately 600-ish groups that would have been labeled tribes, clans, nations, etc., in North America, and within about, I don't know, 100-150 years after the whites came, it dropped by about half nearly immediately. Just an FYI.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, when I was involved with something called Peace and Dignity Journeys, which was creating an alternative indigenous Native American observance of the 500th anniversary of Columbus appearing in the so-called New World, there were 104 different tribal groups all taking part in a run walk that started at the tip of Alaska and the tip of Chile and converged on Mexico City. And it was a very powerful year-long process which brought together tribes from all the Americas. And so I remember that number being a little bit over 100, 104, and we, Gloria Villanova, who is a Circle Sanctuary minister, actually represented us down in Mexico at that time. Well, I invite those of you who have been in the chat and listening to tune in next week. Yes, I've decided I'm going to continue on for at least the month of April, and I will be posting the topics that we'll be doing in the next couple days. And in closing, I want to thank all who've been helping with the program, David and Jeanette Ewing and Tracy Wood, and invite everyone to stay tuned for the Pagan Priest Show. And for those of you who may live within a commute of Central Michigan, I'm going to be speaking at Central Michigan University on Friday night on pagan civil rights, and on Saturday I'll be at the Mid-Michigan Body and Soul Festival in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and I'll be speaking at a metaphysical Spring Awakenings Festival on Sunday doing Dreamcraft. So free or by donation, and I invite you all to tune in to my Facebook page where I'll give you some more information. Well, divine is one, divine is many. We give thanks for you being with us tonight. Continue to be with us, be in us, and bless us, guide us, and teach us as we go into our lives. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
And we now move into our next show with a wonderful song from one of my favorite groups, Spiral Rhythm. I want to thank Tracy Wood and Ed and everybody with the Pagans Tonight Radio Network for continuing to sponsor and host this wonderful radio network, including our show, and join the Ewings and Pam on Saturday night for Pagan Warrior Radio. Good night, everyone.
Night.
One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burn with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community,
www.circlesanctuary.org, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/csnpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.